So dear listeners, Sarong from Prashanthinilayam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say, and today, wherever you go in Prashanthinilayam, it feels like there is really no place on earth which is really more happening, more alive, more bubbling with energy, joy and spiritual fervor than what you see in Prashanthinilayam in this tiny hamlet, which today is really feels like the spiritual epicenter of the younger generation. The 3-day revitalizing, recharging, reconnecting festival of joy and devotion, the World Youth Festival, which had over 3,000 youth from all parts of the world, from 69 countries. The celebration concluded today gloriously, and I can tell you every participant of this festival is still submerged in those vibes, those elevating and reinvigorating vibes. And I thought Radio Sai should not miss this opportunity to capture some of these moments, because these are truly landmark moments in the lives of hundreds and thousands who have gathered here, and many more who are tuned to this, tuned to what is happening in Prashanthinilayam through the audio streams and the video streams. And as I interact with these youth, you know, one poem of Rabindranath Tagore keeps occurring in my mind. It is from the famous work of this Nobel laureate, Gitanjali, where this poet saint says, "O Lord, Thou hast made me endless, such is Thy pleasure. This frail vessel, Thou empty it again and again, and fill it ever with fresh life. This little flute of a reed, Thou hast carried over hills and dales, and has breathed through it melodies eternally new." And the next line is my favorite. "At the immortal touch of Thy hands, my little heart loses its limits in joy and gives birth to utterance in a fable. Thy infinite gifts come to me only on these very small hands of mine. Ages pass and still Thou pours, and still there is room to fill." And you talk to any youth today in Prashanthinilayam, and he or she will tell you how they have felt His infinite gifts pour into their hearts, pour in ceaseless streams, and still, as the saint says, there is room to fill. When Bhagwan started the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning in 1981, Swami had said, "This is the inaugural day of our institute. It has been planted today. The roots, the students are the roots. The tree will grow with branches on all sides. Countless flowers will bloom. It will provide and promote peace and security to the world." And today, what you see in Prashanthinilayam is a glimpse of this countless flowers. As Bhagwan said, countless flowers will bloom on all sides. And the message that Bhagwan gave was not only for the students of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. It was for Sai students. And who is a Sai student? On one occasion, a senior devotee who was speaking in the Divine Presence in Trai Vrindavan, while he was giving his talk, it was a very informal gathering. In some context, he referred to his son. And then he looked at Bhagwan and said, "Swami, my son, you know, your student." And Swami said, "Who?" "Swami, this is his name. He's your student." Swami said, "No, he's not my student." He said, "No, Swami, he studied here. He's your student." Swami said, "No, he's not my student." And no one understood what was going on, because the person, the senior devotee, was insisting and Swami was just not accepting. And then Bhagwan said, "Just because one joins the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, one does not become my student. Just like only when you clear the end semesters and mid semesters and all the tests of the university, you become a student of the university, you get the certificate that you are part of the university. Similarly, only that person who clears the test that Sai gives can call himself a Sai student. So whoever is on the Sai path and who tells Swami, Swami, I am a student, please train me, please test me, I want to graduate as a Sai student, he is a Sai student, she is a Sai student. And today you see more than 3,000 Sai students from Africa to America, from California to Croatia, all here, as I said, to experience his infinite gifts just pour into their hearts. This is the time when freshers join the university. And today, you know, when you go to Sai Kulanth Hall, you feel there are so many people that Swami has inducted into his university. His university, which is not limited to a little town in Puttaparthi, but is spread all over. And today, I'm really fortunate to have with me in the studios a tiny sample of this all-pervasive universal university of Bhagwan. A tiny sample of this privileged, happy privileged lot, just three of them who are going to give us a glimpse of the love of Bhagwan they felt in the last 3 days and the love that they will carry with them as they return to their homes. So that is what we will do in this last leg of Thursday Life, coming to you straight from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. And the time in the studios now is 8:46. And as I just said, today we're going to have a session where we discuss about the immortal touch of Sai. Conversation with brothers Kapil, Ritesh and Rohan, three happy participants of the World Youth Festival. Roshan. Kapil is from United Kingdom. He's a banker and currently working as a consultant in capital markets in Cognizant. Ritesh, also from United Kingdom, is a youth coordinator for Central London and professionally a medical doctor. And Roshan, from Hong Kong, is currently pursuing his graduation in accounting and finance. He is in his 30. So welcome brothers Kapil, Ritesh and Roshan to Outside Inside, Deep Inside.
Saram, brother. Saram.
So can we start with you, Kapil? Can you please tell us, how did Swami bring you to Parthi this time? Because every time Swami brought you to Parthi, I think there was a story. You've been coming to Parthi so many times. I've seen you in the Sai Kulanth Hall and also with youth from UK. You've been part of the Gram Seva team working with the Sai students in the university. And every time there was something beautiful that Swami did. So what is the story this time? Is there a story this time?
There most definitely is, brother. Sairam. Sairam, dear listeners. I think it's a well-known fact that the preparations for this World Youth Festival have been taking place since 2014. It's really well advertised, and for a lot of us, if not all of us, the majority of us had in the back of our minds that we most definitely wanted to attend this spectacular event. Spectacular because it was the first time in 10 years that a gathering of such magnitude was to take place in Prashanthi Nilayam. And in the back of my mind, I always had the desire that I wanted to come back. You know, every opportunity that there is to come and see Swami, every opportunity to come to Prashanthi Nilayam, who wouldn't wish to take that? Well, that's the way I think, at least. But the past year or so, and as I think this alludes to the story, mm-hmm. It has been a rather tough one. A tough one, personally, in a sense. In terms of testing me, faith-wise, mm-hmm. testing my determination, my commitment to what, determination for what, my faith towards what. You rightly pointed out, I have a background in financial services. I've worked with some of the Bhagwan's Grace, with some of the top investment banks in the past. my contract had come to an end, end of July last year, and it's almost been a year. I'll be starting, when I go back to the UK soon, I'll be starting a new job on the 18th. Mm-hmm. Divine 18th, mm-hmm. Monday, Somvar of July. These are no coincidences. Mm. But for such a long time, I'd been out of work, and you know, I'd been applying for work. I'd interviewed with some of the most established names within the investment banking industry, JP Morgan, Morgan Stanley. I'd done exceptionally well in interviews, and the interviews themselves had come out of, you know, no effort on my own, as if like the opportunity just came there, despite efforts on my part to, you know, apply for jobs, this and that. So there you believe that, okay, this is Swami is doing, that an interview is, you know, is just coming, you know, it's just materialized for you. You attend the interview, you do your utmost best, you know, you do your best, leave the rest to him.
Yes.
Interviews went exceptionally well, but the five major investment banks that I interviewed with, rather surprisingly, the responses were always the same. You did exceptionally well. You were a very good candidate. We chose someone else who was far better than you, in the sense that they had more experience than you. And it was essentially that. Now, you get to a stage where, after five attempts, you start to question yourself. Why, Swami? For me, it was a case of, Swami, what are you doing to me? What is this test? What are you testing me for? I don't know what it is. I give up. I leave it to you. I've had it.
Yeah, I mean, it's five times is it can really bring you down.
I think
it builds your confidence and everything.
It definitely can, and I'm sure a lot of youth out there can relate to this, because this, as we'll discover later on, as you'll unearth later on in this interview, especially when you speak with the other brothers, in terms of the challenges the youth face, and how, you know, how a lot of those answers were given to us by Bhagwan in this conference, in this festival. I had registered for the World Youth Festival. Again, the Swami says, you take one step to me, I'll take 1,000 towards you. You do your duty. You do my work, I'll do your work. It was a turbulent time. It was a tough time, in a sense where I was getting nowhere. You know, in the materialistic world, work-wise, nothing was working out. But what gave me solace was the fact that I was ever engaged in the SAI organization. I serve as a regional youth coordinator. So I'm constantly involved on a regional level. I'm involved in various national programs, obviously at a Samithi level as well, with the SAI centers, with my youth, in terms of, you know, study circles or SEVA activities or, you know, the bhajans, etc. The World Youth Festival, there were opportunities to get involved in that to some capacity. Recently, on the 11th, we had the graduation ceremony, first time in Kulwant Hall, for those that were involved in the International Leadership Program. So there was an offering which was done for that as well. I was involved in that. So there was all these activities that were taking place, and that somehow takes the pressure off you. Your mind is somewhat distracted in a good sense.
But even when you were engaged in all these activities and these disappointments at the professional front, did it de-spirit you? Like, you know, there are, you can feel that, Swami, what is it? I'm doing so much of your work, and here every time I go to a job interview, I'm only turned down.
See, Bishmi, you yourself will know this. You know, you someone who's been in the establishment, in the spiritual establishment, someone who's well versed in Sai literature, you, in terms of your experiences as well, and anyone else for that matter, you know, you can't rationalize Swami. You can't. You wouldn't even dare to rationalize him. So where do you do? What do you do? Is it a case of going back to the drawing board? Because that is the case for all of us. For me, it most definitely was back to, you know, you pray. Is there something, you question yourself, is there something wrong with me? Do I need to reflect inwards? Is there something wrong with my sadhana? Is my sadhana not as intense as what it should be? Is Swami trying to teach me a lesson? You know, I want something in life, but it does start to come about. Maybe it's not what he wants for you. But Swami, my heart is really set in that. What do you listen to? Mind? Heart? All these things come into play. Family. Because fair enough, you as an individual may be absolutely solid. Your faith may be solid as a rock. But then there are the distractions in terms of what parents will say, because you have a duty towards parents.
Yes.
Your parents most definitely. they will have concerns as well. Yes. My parents, you know, I was born into a Sai family in a sense. My mother came to know Swami when she was pregnant with me. So that journey, we've done that journey together for the past 34 years as a family unit in terms of going to Sai Samithis, coming to Prashanthi Nilayam. So our faith in Swami is ever there. I have no doubt about that. But the human mind is such that, you know, the tendency will come to think, okay, what is going wrong? I'd be questioned. Are you giving so much time to this? Are you actually making an effort to apply for this? Yeah. What are you doing wrong in your interviews?
Exactly. Probably they'll say you're spending too much time doing Sai work.
I think there was a case. But either are you preparing well for interviews? And I'm thinking to the area, I'm doing as much as I can. I don't know what more can I do. And my research background research, 2-3 days, you know, of research, of hardcore research. And you know what? I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. You have to ask him. I remember these sort of scenes. I'd point at the picture and say, ask him. I have no answer. Swami is the one. You go into your prayer room. You ask him. I remember saying this to Amma. You ask Amma, ask him. You know, and, but, and this is the turning point. So you mentioned Cognizant. I'll be starting with Cognizant soon. The well-known technology consultancy firm. That interview came out of the blue. Somehow I was nominated, and I didn't think much of it. Interviews started coming. In fact, the last interview came on Thursday the 9th of June. That's no coincidence. I remember with my parents, they were like, Thursday, Brihaspatiwar, it's Swami's day. 9th, divine number. Yes. Something is at play here. Mm. But still, you must do your effort. You must put in the effort. I got the role. I got offered it the next day, I was told. Brilliant. One thing's done. You know, we're all relieved. But what about start date? Can I still come to Prashanthi Nilayam?
So close.
It's so close, but yet so far. My mother, my father would be like, you know, if Swami wants you there. They know the classic line. I think sometimes we say it without even realizing the extent or the meaning of it. If Swami wants you there, you'll be there. And it wasn't until a few weeks later where I received the e-copy of the contract. Another short story for that. I remember it was a Friday evening. I had to attend a satsang, and this was something totally unrelated to my usual activities as a regional youth coordinator. It was for a multi-faith function, which our region was preparing, was hosting. And I had to go one Friday evening. The journey was far. The weather wasn't brilliant. And my mother turned around and said, Arya, do you have to go? You're already doing a lot for, you know, the World Youth Festival. Can you not take, just relax? And I don't know, Bishu, what happened. It was a spontaneous response. Amma, you know, this is Swami's work. I have to do it. I don't know if this was the right response, whether I like it or not, he's given me this work. I must do it. It's my duty to do it. And she accepted it. She goes, okay, fair enough. No, you're absolutely right. I got back that night, 11:30 p.m., it was an hour and a half drive. I was absolutely shattered. Went to bed midnight, going through my emails. The e-contract came. Quickly, I went to the start date. It said, July the 18th is your start day. I remember running into my parents' room. They were fast asleep as it was. And, you know, I was like, Amma, you know, Mom, Dad, I've got it. 18th of July is my start date. And the first thing they were said, so when are you going to book your tickets to Prashanthi Nilayam? The thing is, though, and there's a quote, I believe, Ramakrishna Paramahansa once said this, and it was told to us Gram Seva boys, one of our trips to Patti. When the fruit is ripe, it will fall. Until then, keep watching the mango. Just keep, I'm telling you, Swami must have dropped those mangoes instantaneously. I had to wait. It was a long wait. Yeah. Almost a year, Bishu.
Yeah, I know.
And it's such a testing time. And I think for anyone who's listening to this, because I'm sure there's many youth that go through this, yes. You know, in terms of applying for jobs first time round or maybe the nth time round, and they're going through this frustration, you have to have faith in Swami.
Yes.
You have to have faith in Him. I remember speaking to one of my friends afterwards. I said, you know, it further reinforced the belief of one of Swami's quotes where you do my work, I will do your work. But you have to have faith in that.
Yes.
Because if you don't, I personally believe He will test you more and more.
Yeah.
There will be more peaks and troughs in that journey.
Exactly.
And you'll be battered around like a tennis ball across various rackets.
Yes.
You have to have that faith. One last thing, Vishu. Tickets. So the time is running out. I'm looking to book tickets. Mm. So we've established the date. The ticket comes back to me, one particular airline. A price at 528 sterling, which is quite fair enough. You expect it to be that high at that time of the year. What's the problem? They put it on my father's name, not my name. So obviously there's a big hangama as to what's going to happen. If I go back, I went back to them and I was told, you know, we won't be able to get you another ticket until 2-3 days. And I'm in my mind, I'm thinking, monkey mind, yeah? Oh God, prices are going to go up. I'm not going to get my dates I want. Fly out on the 16th and return on the, fly out on the 6th and return on the 16th of July. And then my mother says to me, look, leave it to Swami. Har ek cheez mein koi behtareen hoti hai. There must be something positive in everything. You must have that faith. You know, Swami says, everything is for your good. Yes. What happens, immediately the next day, a new ticket with a new airline comes through, and the price is 9 sterling cheaper.
Wow.
On my name. And, you know, it's much, everything was much better. But I think the point is, you know, tests will always come.
Yes.
You know, Swami says, you know, these moments of happiness and sadness, they're like passing clouds. Yes. We can't get, you know, too fixated in the moment. We have to, yes, offer everything to Him, be thankful for Him, not just turn towards Him in moments of sadness,
yes,
but also in moments of happiness.
Yes.
Appreciate what He's done. But also, if there are stumbling blocks, think to yourself, remind yourself, this is for my good. No, something, Swami is doing something, and Swami, I'll leave it to you. I'll do whatever I can, but I know this is for my good.
Yes.
And that's my journey in terms of how I arrived to Berkeley this time around.
Fantastic. Wow. You know, two things come to my mind. One is God's delays, as they say, are never His denials. And we'll have to wait. And wait with patience. And every test that He gives, if we have that faith and that patience, you know, as you said, He converts every test into a testimony.
Absolutely.
Testimony of His love. He converts every tragedy into a triumph of His love. And I think all of us have experienced that. How is it for you, Ritesh? Do you also have a story of how, was there any test in your journey to come to Prashanthi?
So, Sairam, Vishu. And as Kapil said, it was quite well advertised and publicized in the UK, this World Youth Festival. And it's been going on for a while, up to a year. And Kapil himself and other people have been encouraging us all to register. So, as you said, I work as a doctor in a hospital in England, and we get our rota, which is kind of a timetable of what shifts you're supposed to do and expected to do. And I received my rota, and I found out that my shifts clashed with the World Youth Festival.
Oh.
So I was supposed to be on night shifts from the 11th to the 14th. And the World Youth Festival is the 12th to the 14th. So I would completely miss it. And in the UK, it's quite hard to swap shifts as it is. But it's a well-known fact amongst doctors that it's almost impossible to swap night shifts.
Yeah.
But it didn't occur to me at the time. It's only when we were talking earlier that I realized that if Swami wants you to come, then you know, you're basically invited to come to Puttaparthi. So I went ahead. I booked my... I registered for the event, and I said, I'll try and swap my shifts. And so I went to try and swap my shifts, and I found out that the week after, the 11th to the 14th, so the week after, was a set of night shifts which had a vacant post.
Mm-hmm.
So that made it so much easier to swap, because I didn't have to rearrange every other doctor's shifts. I just had to swap it with a vacant post, and it fitted in perfectly.
Wow.
And obviously at the time, you take it for granted. But then when you come here, you realize, and everyone re-emphasizes that it's Swami that's calling you to Puttaparthi. Then you realize that it all worked smoothly because of Swami's will.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's a nice feeling once you realize it.
Yeah. And I think this is one instance that you know about. But perhaps there'll be so many visible and invisible ways that Swami would be working behind the scenes. You know, when you think about it from a larger perspective, the very fact that, you know, your health was fine, everything was fine,
yeah,
with the family, you know, there are so many things that can go wrong. But I think from the major to the minor to the semi-major to the semi-minor, everything he has to take care.
Yeah.
And
okay,
only then is such a thing can happen.
Yeah, nothing happens without His will. And we tend to take everything for granted. And so when you think about it, that the probabilities are low for this to happen, then you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And as Kapil also said, you know, we cannot take things for granted. We have to take everything with gratitude.
Yes.
I think that is something that comes to you so strongly, right? When you come to a place like this, how does it feel for you, Roshan?
It's been an amazing experience. I mean, I think the last time I had visited Puttaparthi was in 2007,
mm-hmm.
which where I came with my family, and then it was about 10 years ago, and I was a 13-year-old child who came to Puttaparthi just to see Swami, which was a totally new experience for me.
Was it the first time you were seeing
Swami? That was my first time.
So how was the first experience?
Oh, it was amazing. I remember waking up with my dad at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm not really a cold shower person, so he had woken me up and he told me you have to go and shower, so I went to shower, and it was a nice, very chilly first shower, and I was like, oh God, we have to do this every day, and he was like, yeah, that's why you got to wake up at like 2 o'clock and have about half an hour to mentally prep yourself that you're gonna put chilly cold water on yourself. And I'm like, and I was a 13-year-old child who was 12, 13, where I was so new to it, and then we started lining up, and how we enter through the front entrance, we had to enter through the back entrance, and it was a very, very long line. I remember waiting for about 3-4 hours, and literally, at some point I thought, I just asked my dad, Dad, are we actually going to go inside and see Swami? I mean, we woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and as a kid you ask a lot of questions.
I know.
Like, are we going inside? Why are we still waiting outside? I want to see Swami.
Yeah.
And
until now you only heard about Swami so much,
no,
right?
I've been brought up in a Sai, a very strong
family,
Sai devotee family.
Mm.
So I was thrilled to come to Puttaparthi and see, and it was a totally new experience for me living in an ashram, and at that time we didn't have beds.
Mm.
We just had a mattress, so it was kind of cool for me, but the showers were quite difficult for the first 2-3 days.
Mm. So you're waiting there in the queue, and
waiting, anxious, and we finally get in, and we're sitting right at the back, and still, when Swami comes inside, you can see his very nice, beautiful head just standing out in front of everything. And I wasn't wearing glasses at that time, so I could only see his outfit, his orange outfit, and he had given his discourse, and I could still feel so blessed with my dad, and I was still trying to understand, like, I wanted to get closer and closer and closer to see him, actually see him. And the first day went, after his discourse, I was thrilled to just see him wearing an orange an orange cloth. Did not really see his face, but the next day we had gotten a lot closer. Thanks to Swami, we went a bit earlier and we got very, very good seats, and it was an absolute blessing. Really, I don't think I really understood what he was saying. I was just looking at him, and it was such a beautiful sight for me, and it was truly a great experience. So after 2007, it went on to 2011, and then when he had left his physical body, it didn't really hit me too hard in the first, I think, few months. It hit my parents very, very hard because they were very used to seeing him in a physical form. And after a while, it did really hit me, and you start to lose a bit of faith, especially living in Hong Kong, the UK, and many other countries and cities. There are so many distractions.
Yes.
Around you, your friends sometimes, the activities you do, basically your whole surroundings, your environment. And I had gone through a period where I did lose connection with Swami.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives you clues time to time that, you know, he is really there. Whether it talks about your grades, your jobs, as, you know, Brother Kapil mentioned. And it's weird. It's really funny how he works, but it's beautiful. And I had gone for a wedding in April, where I met another brother of mine, and he had started to speak to me about, you know, the whole Parthi trip in the youth conference, and during January to April, it didn't really like hit me that I should really come here. But after April, I really don't know. I had a strong feeling that I have to come here. I have to come back here and reconnect with Swami.
Hmm.
And it was not... sorry. There were a few signs here and there with my grades that were coming from university. Things were working out very, very smoothly. In the first 2-3 months, you kind of think it's all you. But actually, when you go through a time where you actually can self-reflect about it, and think, like, how are things actually working out so well? And then you go for satsang, and then you start to connect. You start to hear a few voices in you telling you that, you know, you're doing very well, Roshan. And you think, Swami could actually be doing this for me.
Hmm.
And then you feel that I actually have to come for this trip.
Hmm.
Although there were a few weddings going on during this period, but I just told my parents that I really need to come for this party trip just to reconnect with Swami.
Wow.
And these 2-3 months that I've been waiting from April to end June, it's been a long wait, but it's been total bliss. It's been amazing. It's been an amazing experience so far, and I'm so grateful that I've just left everything and I just came here to experience such a fruitful and amazing experience with so many other youths around the world.
Wow. One word that you mentioned is so powerful. You said reconnect. I think in so many ways this youth festival has helped people to reconnect. Reconnect with so many things, isn't it? Reconnect with so many of our brothers and sisters. Reconnect with Swami's teachings. Reconnect with the Sai mission. Reconnect with our understanding of Swami's philosophy. And finally, as he said, reconnect with that inner Swami. I think that is what is most important. So, can you just share, Brother Ritesh, how has it helped you, this youth festival, to reconnect? At what levels did this reconnection happen?
So, I too, as both brothers, was born into a Sai family. So I've been going to the center, to Bhajans, but it becomes a routine, almost a routine. You wake up on Sunday, you go to Bhajans practice, you attend Bhajans, and then you come back and it's a routine, it's a weekly routine. And it's only these big events that you actually realize how many people from around the world that Swami is drawing to Prashanti. We were talking earlier in the Purna Chandra Hall, and there's so many people who haven't actually seen Swami in the physical form, and yet they're here at this World Youth Festival, and that's amazing. That's simply amazing. How Swami does that. And you realize his magnificence, what great power, obviously Swami's God, but it puts it all into perspective when you see all of this.
Yeah.
And there's so many great speakers who have shared their experiences with Swami. And it's quite touching and quite nice to hear from, because you don't, not every day you hear these experiences. There was one speaker, well-known speaker, VBS Lakshman, the cricketer. He had such great experiences with Swami, and I had no idea about this. And so one of his thoughts were that he became a cricketer and he was playing for the country, but he wasn't performing at that top level at the time.
Yes.
And there was a turning point in his life.
Yes.
He was a Swami devotee, but it was only when he came to Puttaparthi,
yes.
And he came with expectation,
yes.
that Swami would talk to him and everything. And then Swami told him that expectation is clouding your mind.
Yes.
And that's, you know, get rid of expectation, live in the present. And then that kind of freed his mind on the batting field as well. So and from there on, his career boomed. It was amazing. And there's so many other stories that great speakers have spoken about.
Yeah, I think in every time a speaker took to the podium, there was something in it, in every speaker.
Definitely, yeah.
What they shared touched you, isn't it? How was it for you, Kapil?
I agree totally with what Ritesh has said. There have been a lot of practical gems which each of us have taken away from this trip. the incident involving VVS Lakshman. I think it sort of rekindled or sort of brought back his, you know, the teachings which he was imbibed with as a child. And you can sort of draw parallels of that as a, yes. you know, we would have gone through as Bhavikas and SSE children, yes. or the, you know, the teachings, the shikshas we would have received from yes. our parents.
Yes.
You know, he mentioned that as a youngster, his grandfather had a huge influence on his life.
Yes.
You know, he made sure that he was well versed in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita,
yeah.
which talks about, you know, you're saying being in the present,
yeah.
right,
yes.
Ritesh? And,
yes.
You know, having reaching that stage of that state of a stapragna, one who is who is in a state of equanimity,
yes.
who, you know, neither success or failure affects that individual.
Yes.
And I think, like Lord Krishna says, he who treats, I'm just paraphrasing here, but he who treats success and failure,
yes.
you know, victory, defeat with equal fortitude, I believe
yes.
that's the right term,
yeah.
he is the true king of men and he is most dear to me.
Yes.
And that was the philosophy he was brought up with, but he somehow lost his line and lost that, his way.
Yes.
And it was Swami that brought that emphasis
yes.
back home for him in the interview.
Correct.
So a lot of us, we've had these teachings whilst growing up, but as a result of our company, you know, Roshan was alluding to earlier, we sort of lose that connection, or we think we lose that connection.
Yes.
But we're like, you know, the analogy which Bhagavan gives, you know, we're like the kite.
Yeah.
And, you know, we may think, you know, with the winds of Maya, we'll get torn away. But Swami's there, you know,
yeah.
he'll be reeling us in
yes.
any time. And he's, every Chittapatti is an instance where he's reeled us in.
Yeah. Wow.
I said earlier about the practical tips. I think it was the first evening, right?
Yeah.
Where we had the IAS officer, Rao
yeah.
sir.
Hari Ranjan Rao.
Hari Ranjan Rao sir. And obviously VVS Lakshman Garu. And
yes.
they both talked about their, you know, they gave their experiences in the workplace.
Yes.
And I remember thinking to myself, you know, I'm so thankful that I've come to this session, this evening session. I knew it was going to be a long one from previous experiences, 2007, where, you know, speeches go on and on and you're like, okay, this is so much, man. I can't, when is Swami going to speak? We're here to listen to Swami. Obviously, Swami's not physically here now. So we're waiting to listen to that discourse, you know, or the YouTube clip which they play. But those talks, it was full of so many gems. How to deal with your peers at a work, within your work sphere. If there's an incident, episode of conflicting opinion or, you know, a conflict of ego, how do you deal with it? You know, Hari Ranjan Rao mentioned, you know, always have at the forefront of your mind Swami.
Yes.
He imagines, if there's any sort of meeting he has to go into, a meeting which he's not comfortable with,
yes.
and I'm sure we've all experienced this, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Where he imagines that he's actually prostrating, you know,
yes.
Sakshat Brahman, that Swami's divine lotus feet.
Yes.
And then he goes into it. And there was one instant where he mentioned,
yes.
you know, the dynamics of the conversation completely changed.
Yeah. Yes.
You know,
the boss was agitated.
The boss was agitated, running stuff up left, right, and center. I mean, as soon as he came in, the first thing was asked, would you like a cup of tea? But
yeah.
these simplicities, we forget. Why do we forget this? And I think this is something, perhaps this is one of the reasons why we're brought here. I mean, who knows what the ultimate reason is. The penny may drop now, the penny may drop 10 years down the line. We don't know. I said earlier, we can't rationalize Swami. But one thing we can do, obviously there's some lessons we can learn, but just be in the moment, experience
yes.
it, and that's something that I've said with a lot of brothers. I don't know what the rest of you
yes.
think about that, but
yes.
just being in the moment, I'd
yes,
say.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, as you were mentioning about Hari Ranjan Rao, two things that come to my mind. One is, I just want to share with you what happened just this evening before all of you came to the studio, because he was supposed to leave, and around 5:30, 6 o'clock. And so I thought, you know, he's the secretary to the chief minister. So I thought he must be, you know, taking a cab and going to Bangalore and taking the airport and going, taking the flight from Bangalore airport. So I had to give something to him. So I said, when can I meet you? So he said, I'll give you a call around 5:36. I'll come back from the mandir and give you a call. So I just messaged him and he replies saying, no, you know what, actually I came to the railway station and it's okay, I will have someone else collect that from you. And I was very sad, like I wanted to actually meet him and give him that, you know. But he's already left. So I sent a message saying, you know, I'm very apologetic. I was very apologetic there and I could not really see him.
Yeah.
But then he replies saying, don't worry, I think Swami definitely wants me to meet you and take the thing that you want to give me because my train has missed. I missed my train. I was like, oh my God, you missed your train? I mean, how could that happen? And so where are you now? He said, see, I'm coming back to the ashram. I think definitely Swami wants me to meet you. There's not a trace of frustration or sadness, you know. He was absolutely clear that this is exactly what was supposed to happen. He missed the train by like 1 minute, okay. First of all, I'm wondering, hello, why do you have to go in train? I mean, he sits in the chief minister's office. In fact, I know because on one occasion when I had gone to Indore and, you know, that day he had a slight health problem. And there were so many calls. The whole ministry was like very concerned about his health.
Mm.
He's such an important person there. And so he came back. And so I said, you know what, I will arrange a taxi. You know, you can comfortably go to Bangalore. He said, no, it's okay. You know, it's fun. I want to go by public transport.
Oh, wow.
I was going, looking for a bus in the bus stand. Hunting around which bus is going. There's no Andhra bus, so we went out. We went to the lane where there's Karnataka buses and is looking. Is there any Karnataka buses? No bus. Then suddenly one bus appeared actually, from nowhere. And he said, "Yeah, this bus is going to Bangalore." He said, "I told you, Swami will arrange." So he got in the bus. See, this bus is going to Bangalore, and that bus was actually literally empty. There were only one or two people there, and he was absolutely at ease. I was like, oh my God.
I think that reflects the humility in
that
the individual.
I think that is what...
His faith in Swami, that Swami will send transportation for him.
And that humility and that simplicity. The other thing which he also emphasized in that speech that day was, you know, how for him, his association with Swami, initially he used to be diffident about it. He used to not tell anyone about it. But over time, now he has become very open, confident, vocal about it. And he's very proud about it. I think that is something I felt sent out a very powerful message to all the youth, isn't it?
It's true. We talked a lot about our Sai identity. Because from personal experience, I know a lot of youth do this as well, where you interact with colleagues at work, you interact with friends, and they ask you, where do you go off on Sundays? Mm. Suddenly you go off for a few hours and then you come back. Mm. Or what did you do this weekend? And you say, oh, I went to this spiritual gathering. Or I went to this, you know, church event, sometimes you may say. But you're reluctant for some reason to say, I go to Swami's place or I go to bhajans. Mm. But I think that's something that we all need to learn a lesson from and actually be confident about it, because there may be some people out there who are just waiting for that one clue that, you know, they might be trying to find their way in life. And if they can see Swami as that way, and you say, I'm going to see Swami, I'm going to sing bhajans for Swami, and they may say, may I come along? And you might bring them into the Sai fold. And that's how the Sai army gets bigger.
No, I think Ritesh is absolutely right there. I mean, when we were discussing this earlier, just amongst ourselves, you know, what one thing you take from that episode is not to judge people. I think Chandrasekhar Narayan, so when he spoke, there were three main things from his talk, one of which was not to judge others. Sometimes we think, and personally speaking, like, even on this trip coming to the airport, you know, on the way to the airport, I remember sitting down with my parents. So I've checked in to one side. I mean, there's all Indians around us. There were a few flights which were delayed, so I've already explained why, but there were quite a few families around us. Somebody asked me, where are you going? I said, I'm off to Bangalore. It's a pleasure trip, you know. That's it. I left it. And this is wrong. I know this is absolutely wrong, because the perception I had of this, he's not going to understand. You know, I just left it as I smiled. And that's it. Whereas my mother and my father had already started a conversation with another chap who turns out to be an Andhrite, well, somebody from Telangana.
Okay.
And, you know, she mentioned, yeah, he's going to Bangalore, and from Bangalore he's going to Puttaparthi. And I sat there and I was like, why did you have to do this?
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, it turned out, even though he was a staunch Sai devotee himself, you know, he hardly has ever come to Puttaparthi, but his family were, particularly his aunt. And he had the utmost respect. Obviously, he believed Swami was a divine personality. He believed that, and he, you know, in terms of Swami's works, his philanthropy, in terms of being, you know, all the service to humanity that's being done. That's what we started to talk about. And we struck such a wonderful conversation for 20 minutes. But I think, you know, Ritesh, you were saying earlier that, you know, we're quick to judge. We think the individual, he or she doesn't have the capacity or the spiritual capacity to understand where we're coming from. Mm. I mean, who are we to judge, right?
Yes. Even with the experience with Hari Ranjan Rao's, he had spoken about having a Swami picture in his office.
Yes.
And how many of us would have the guts to do that in a Western
And how much of a difference it would make when someone would walk in.
Yes.
You would just have a Swami picture behind him and people would be like, okay, I gotta, like, psychologically, like, they're like, okay, no negative comments, nothing, just speak in a very professional manner.
Yes.
So I think Swami's power is so strong that it can really have a change in the tone. As he mentioned, going to his boss's office, and his boss was supposed to be angry, but as soon as he entered, it was like, would you like to have a cup of tea? In the most nicest way possible.
Yes. I mean, that is our greatest strength. That is our biggest asset and our biggest sort of... we are plugged to the infinite source of power, actually. And sometimes we don't realize what we are blessed with. So how is it for you, Roshan? Do you ever talk about Swami to in your college? Any with your friends?
Actually, my friends were very, very devoted, were Sai devotees before.
Okay.
But I guess they still are.
Mm-hmm.
But, as everyone goes off to university, everyone kind of loses their connection, as did I, of course. But I actually shared it with my work colleagues that I started an internship with, and I told them I'm going for a spiritual youth conference. And they actually took it very, very well. I mean, they were like, oh, really? That sounds cool. And they sounded very interested about where was I living, what would I be doing, and the activities that would be prepared.
Yeah.
And I feel it's just about opening up about
it. Opening up. How you present yourself, I think, and how confident you are also.
Don't really think about what they're going to think about it.
Yes.
Like, as Swami says, you know, focus on your own connection.
Yes.
You can share it.
Yes.
And don't really think about what the other person is going to say. Just share it. And everyone's different like that. Everyone's got a different opinion to the world.
Yes.
And the people I shared it with were very, very interested.
And
they said it was really cool.
Wow. In fact, I feel just like if someone has done his any degree from Harvard, you know, you're very proud about it, right? In the first, they say if someone is from Harvard, in the first 2 minutes of the conversation, you come out. And here we are, we have a degree which is far, far greater than anything the world can give. And I think if we know how to utilize it, we don't know to what height it can take us. It's really amazing.
Very true.
So, Roshan, earlier when you were talking, you mentioned that, you know, even though you had sort of lost seemingly your connection with Swami, but he was always watching over you, and that you realized a little later. So what were those instances? You said there were some were a little funny, but later you did realize that here is someone who has never left me, as he very beautifully said, the kite, the strings, very
he just pulls you. I actually have a few instances where it really took time for me to evaluate about how this really happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I play football in Hong Kong, and there was a point when I was about 15 to 16 years old where you finish playing in the junior level and you want to move into the senior level. And at that point, there was no person or team that approached me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a bit of a difficult period for me, because as a youngster, 15-year-old, I was a football fanatic. I absolutely loved the sport.
Mm.
And it was my passion. It's something I believe I share with Swami.
Mm.
And as time was going on, 2 months, 3 months, and season's about to start very, very soon, Swami really connects you very at a point where you're at utmost desperation for something to happen. When hope is lost, you just feel that there will be that one moment where you meet someone or you meet or something that comes up where it can really, really have an impact to you. And coincidentally, one of my coaches from before, he was at a recreation club, and I had not stayed in touch with him for a while. And while I was in the recreation club just doing my normal thing, there's a team I play for called KCC. So I was doing my normal thing, and he had approached me. And I was speaking to him for a little while, and he had just gradually brought a topic about playing for a football team that he knows.
Mm-hmm.
And slowly I joined. I started to go for the tryouts for that, and a few other teams popped up as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I had chose that team, and for a month again, you self-reflect. You think, okay, you know, I've been working hard, and finally something has popped up, and you get your own ego where you, again, as mentioned, you think it's all you, but actually, it's not. And you go through a period where you think about it. You self-reflect. And for me, it really only happens when I'm alone. From all distractions, in my room, just sitting. And just, you have a thought that things are actually working out really well for me. And you think, and you're like, Swami, again? You connected me to a person I had not spoken in for a while. And this person has somehow helped me to join a football team that I played for a year and had probably the most significant impact in my life that has allowed me to become the player I am today. And that person, thanks to Swami, I'm still very, very close to.
Beautiful.
So I believe that is one sort of clue that he really, really, he somehow set the platform. He brought me back into the correct path and helped me build my career as a semi-professional football player.
Beautiful. And?
There was another one just recently, just 2 months ago. I started an internship at a sports-related firm. I was working in the accounting department, but unfortunately there was a miscoordination between the employees, which happens in every firm. And as a university student, I'm sure Brother Kapil and Brother Ritesh know, you apply for your internships quite early on. And once you get your internships, I got it in February, you get excited. You're like, oh, I'm going to start a job. I'm going to start working, really start actually learning about the real world, the real working world. So it had started first 2-3 days. And unfortunately, instead of doing the doing the accounting work, I had moved into logistics, which was sort of slave work, more like packing bags, taping it up, and it was funny because on the first day of work I wore a suit, so I was drenched. By 2 p.m. I was like, why am I doing this? What am I doing, Swami? And I was messaging my sister. I'm like, I'm doing slave work here. Can you please help me? So I had spoken to my boss after a few days, and I just told him honestly, this is not what I signed up for. And he's like, he was sorry about the arrangement. And I told him I'll try to find something else. And then the first week, the anger and the emotions start to kick in. Like, I worked hard to find this job. I went for the interview. I got the job. And now I have nothing. And it's already summer. And many firms already have interns. So for the first 2-3 days, I think I was a very angry man. My emotions were running high. And thank God my parents could deal with me. I had spoken to my mom, my sister, about how could they do this? Everything was organized. They sent me the confirmation email. But then after a few days, you have to calm down. As Swami says, you have to control the mind. And after a while, things did go down, and this energy filled me. This sudden energy burst just filled me, and I was a robot on a computer just applying for jobs. Mm-hmm. I had made a cover letter. I was applying to various different websites, messaging CEOs on Facebook, I really did not care about how they reply. I just wanted a yes or an interview, and I would take it from there. And I think about, after applying to about 30 jobs,
mm-hmm.
30, 40 jobs, I'd received 3 interviews
mm-hmm.
in that 1 week. I think this was end of June, 2 weeks before July had started.
Mm-hmm.
I had an internship at an insurance firm, a startup, and and a headhunting firm that focuses on private banking. So the first interview was not really what I wanted. Second one was a startup, which I really, really liked.
Mm-hmm.
But I was about to take that. But Swami, something, whether it was, at that time I just felt it was a voice.
Mm-hmm.
That at that time my parents as well were telling me, just wait, you know, you never know. The third interview might be very, very good. And at that time, you're very desperate for a job as an intern because I really wanted to work.
Mm.
As the third interview came, and I really, really liked the interview. Mm-hmm. I liked the colleagues. I met a boss that was a gem of a person.
Wow.
And I, from previous professors' advice, from many other people I had spoken to, as an intern, your boss is the most important person in these 4 years rather than the job you have. So I felt that that boss would really make a difference to my career. And after a few days of evaluating all the options, I had taken that job. And I honestly feel after a week or two, my mom had kept reminding me actually during that 2-3 week time where I was a very restless person. She was like, don't worry, something, Swami's got something for you. Something will pop up.
Hmm.
You've done your work. As Brother Kapil was saying, Swami will take, you'll take 1,000 steps and Swami will take that one step for you. And that opportunity came and I took it, and I, after 2-3 weeks coming here to Prashanti, I was so thankful. I'm like, some people have to wait so long for that job, and within 2 weeks, you helped a reckless chicken into a straight path with a fixed direction.
Yes.
And when I came here, it was absolute bliss. I have so much to thank him, and the least I can do right now is reconnect with him. And as we had a talk, I think yesterday, with Brother Anirudh,
mm-hmm.
who had mentioned something so, I think something so touching for all youth,
mm-hmm.
about how we always think about doing things we like, but as we all should know that Swami is in us, as he always tells us, we are all God.
Mm.
Brother Kapil's God.
Yes.
Brother Bishu's God. Everyone has God in them.
Yes. Yes.
It's just about sometimes doing things that Swami likes, rather than your own liking. So, suppose I enjoy playing football, and I feel that Swami is always with me when I play football, and definitely when I come back to Hong Kong, I have to do more Narayan Seva because I know Swami really likes to do that, and I enjoy that as a person as well.
Wow!
And not to get it's time to not get too distracted, and time to do the right things and make a difference to the world.
Wow, amazing. So what are those moments of bliss that you're going to take with you back to UK, Ritesh?
I think there are a lot of moments at this World Youth Conference that I felt were really amazing. There are so many musical performances of the highest standard. The one today, the Symphony for Sai, was something else. I've never heard anything like it. I'm not sure I'll ever hear anything like it again.
Very innovative.
Very innovative. Yeah, such an amazing experience. And then there's so many talks that you take one thing from each talk. I think that's enough.
Mm.
There's even the simple things such as in the double decker building, there's this game, as we were speaking earlier, that is such a simple game. There's basically, you go into the building and they give you a small booklet and you have to play a game. It's the game of life. And you go through the questions, and then at different points of your life, you choose different paths and they direct you into different rooms. And in each room, there are several questions and the answers are quotes from Satya Sai Speaks or the Vahinis. And I felt personally that that was such an amazing experience, because there's so many questions in that room that occur to us, and we don't always find the answer. But then one day you come to Puttaparthi and you think you're going to play this silly game, and you turn up and you get all the answers. You get all the answers you're looking for. And I think the international youth coordinator did say that he's going to upload all of this to the internet, so we'll have easy access to it. And I think that's a great idea for all of us, because having spoken to a few youth, we've all had similar questions, and it's been hard to find the answers. And it's quite a simple way to find the answers, really.
And you have answers directly from Swami.
Directly from Swami, yeah. You don't need to go searching anywhere else.
You don't have to validate. You don't have to see if there's any other point of view.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, amazing.
Amazing. And Kapil, what are you going to take from this trip?
The theme, Bishu, for this festival, love is the source. Love is the path, love is the goal. So love.
Yes.
And Swami, I mean, we can't stress too much the emphasis he placed on that. Funnily enough, today, in the Swami's discourse, where he poses the question, what is it that brings you to Prashanti Nilayam? I said, it's only Swami's love alone that brings you here, that draws you here. Such statements like that, it gets you thinking. That, you know, who are we? We are nothing without him. There was a story which was narrated, I think the Radio Sai team had come to Punaj in the auditorium for one of our sessions. I believe it was first day or second day.
Second day, I think, yeah.
And within Brother Arvind and Prem had narrated a story. And that story was where Swami had asked one of the students, I think in Trey perhaps, the question of what is done, who is served first at a wedding when it comes to the food? Who is served first? And students, they went through the whole order, finishing, the last people being obviously the bride and the groom. And Swami said, who after that? The servants and all this and that. Who after that? Swami, then if there's anything left over, Narayana Seva. Yeah, but then what after that? And Swami, if anything's left over, we give it to the dogs and the crows. And this is what really, I think a lot of us, we had tears or we were shocked. Mm. It hit us. Mm. And Swami said, that is how you treat, that is the love that you have for me. Mm. As if to say that we put him last in the pecking order. Mm. When it comes to our love. And it's funny, we're talking about love is the source. He is the source.
Yes.
He is the path. Mm. He is the goal. But we put him last on the pedestal when it comes to, our focus in life. So that begs the question, what are we going to do? What changes do we need to bring about in ourselves?
Yes.
In terms of our focus, our direction?
Yes.
I think the answer is simple. Our focus needs to be more on Swami. Our direction needs to be more towards him. But how? Again, I think it's a simple answer. The options are there. The avenues are there. The sadhanas are there for us to be involved in. But this time, as opposed to how you were saying, going to the center on a weekly basis, how it becomes robotic, right? It becomes very mechanical. What further are we doing it? Are we doing it genuinely? Is it just a mere exhibition of skill, of talent? We've seen so much talent displayed here. Mm-hmm. But it does beg the question in terms of, who is that talent for? Who are we doing it for? Are we doing it to satisfy our own egos? Are we doing it for him? Are we doing it out of love for him? I don't know how often we think about these questions. I don't know how often youth give relevance to these questions. I include myself in that bracket. But I think certain points throughout these 3 days have actually, triggered very serious thoughts, very serious concepts for a lot of us.
Yes.
What are we going to do when we go back? We've come here, we've attended a conference, I think last part... you know, we obviously Ritesh and myself are from the same zone, Roshan's from zone 5, so we're part of zone 7. We broke up in our respective zones, working in the zones, as the segment was titled. And the question was posed to us, so what are we going to do? Is it a case that we come in every year, every so often, but we don't do anything? What are we going to do? What are we going to implement when we go back? And I think it's a question which we always ask ourselves when we come to Pranath Nilam. Okay, the other question is, what is it that he's brought us here for? I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to rationalize that. But I feel there's something I need to do myself. That's my personal takeaway message. There's something that I need to do, a bit with regards to my own sadhana, a bit with regards to the impact I have upon others.
Yes.
A lot of emphasis was placed on, you know, internalizing as well.
Yes.
You know, the source.
Yes.
There was a skit that was done by, I believe, some of the Canadian youth about a light bulb and a plug.
Yeah.
And, you know, the light bulb saying, I've lost my light, you know, where do I need to connect in? And, you know, and the plug was saying, look, dude, you know, you connect to your inner source. So, you know, internalizing, looking inwards.
Yes.
And that's all Swami was ever about.
Yes, absolutely.
You don't need to go out looking for me.
Yes.
You know, just look within. I'm there. I'm the inner God. So.
Wonderful. In fact, you know, as you're saying this, I'm reminded of a discourse of Bhagavan, where Swami said, you know, spirituality is not 100% sadhana. Swami said it is 80% this inquiry and only 20% sadhana. All the questions that you were putting, you know, spirituality is all about putting those questions all the time. You know, then whatever sadhana we are doing, we will do it in the right perspective. Otherwise, you know, as you said, the sadhana just happens and it happens in a very mechanical manner. Yeah. And I think if the youth festival has done to ensure that we are asking these questions to ourselves more seriously, I think then in some ways it has achieved something.
I think the youth festival, I mean, it's catered to every age group.
Yes.
One of the programs was a musical offering which looked at, you know, 5 different age groups, and look, there are youth from, you know, 18 to 35, from one end of the spectrum to the other. Each have come here. Like any devotee, we come here with our issues, our problems. We come to Swami for some comfort, for some solace. And I'm sure each youth has taken something away.
Yes.
For me, whatever it is I've taken away, I'm sure it's probably different to what Brother Ritesh or Brother Roshan has. I don't know if you want to...
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's the same with Swami's messages as well. A lot of people would read Swami's messages and come up with different interpretations of it.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of it, as you said, is about this total internal reflection, like a diamond.
Hmm.
That was one of the really exciting
things.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is reflecting and coming up with our own answers, because Swami is giving us the answers. It's about finding them. One of the references made earlier, we were saying, was for every lock that is made,
yes,
there's a specific key that opens it.
Yes.
And it's comparable to problems in life,
yes,
or difficulties, challenges, yes, in life. For every challenge or problem, there is a solution.
Yes.
And it's up to us to find that solution. And it's not always easy to find that solution.
Mm.
But we have Swami. A lot of people go to prayers, go looking for God. We have God. We have His words written on paper. And all the answers will be there. He wouldn't have left us hanging without any answers.
Yes. So how is Roshan after the youth festival going to be? How will it be different from the Roshan before the youth festival?
I think I've definitely reconnected back. Well, I think I have. I think the main thing is getting back to Hong Kong and still keeping this aura I've got from Prashanti. Because we do all get distracted, as we are human, but I feel that sometimes it's necessary to just have your one hour a day,
yes,
just with Swami, and do your sadhana, do your activities with Him, and it will give you your own happiness.
Yes.
And after reconnecting with Him, you can go on, do your sevas, go for bhajans and find other means just to reconnect with him and speak to him. Because it's very, I think in today's world, especially with so many things happening, living in a city like Hong Kong where things happen in a second, you can reach the other half of the city within 2 minutes.
Mm.
That's how fast the city is. So I believe like it's important, especially with today's world, that we have to keep in contact with Swami, to just let you relax and know your true place and what you need to do. Using those practical things we have learned here in Prashanti and try to implement them in Hong Kong. Using his messages, he love all, serve all, right conduct, all of the true values that I honestly had not practiced during that 2-3 year period where you do feel that you have lost faith. But I feel that when I get back to Hong Kong, I definitely have to get and try to make a difference, because we are the youth and we have a very strong youth.
Yes.
And we can really, really make a difference. So I believe it's time that it's the time to act.
Wow.
Get involved with the Sai Center and get involved in helping other youth find their way.
Amazing. Beautiful. You know, earlier you mentioned that, you know, we have to learn to see God in everything, and at least in spirit. Obviously, once you start that practice that the other person is God, in one occasion Swami said that is what is the Jnana Marga. To see that other person is God, Swami said, even if the other person does not behave properly, okay, you think that, okay, that is a bad Swami, but I am the good Swami, let me be the good Swami. And things will change, because there is Swami in him, and things will change. And I think that's a very beautiful thing, though it may sound very weird, but I think it is very practical, and it cannot be explained logically, but I think only when you start doing this, you start experiencing it. And the three things that were also mentioned today, purity, patience and perseverance. And I think if we have this, then definitely, I remember one of those 75th birthday discourse, I think Swami said, there's only one difference between both of us. I mean, all of you and me, you're also God, I'm also God. The only difference is, I just practice these three to its purest level. That's it, purity, patience and perseverance. Wonderful. Thank you so much, dear brothers. You know, as we wind up, there's a very beautiful poem again of Rabindranath Tagore, and which I feel really connects so beautifully to how we want to lead our lives. You know, the great poet saint, he says, "To God, life of my life, I shall ever try to keep my body pure, knowing that thy living touch is upon all my limbs." Life of my life, I shall ever try to keep all untruth out of my thoughts, knowing that thou art the truth which has kindled the light of reason in my mind. Life of my life, I shall ever try to drive all evils away from my heart and keep my love in flower, knowing that thou hast thy seat in the innermost shrine of my heart. Life of my life, and it shall be my endeavor to reveal thee in my actions, knowing that it is thy power that gives me strength to act. And I think if you always remember that it is thy power that gives us strength to act, and if it is always our endeavor to reveal thee in all our actions, thoughts and words, I think Bhagwan there would be so proud of us, and saying, as very beautifully Hariranjan Rao sir said, he bridges patting us and saying, "Bangaru, Bangaru, Bangaru, my golden one, my golden one." Thank you so much, brothers. Thank it has you. Been such Thank an enlightening session, even though I was not a participant of the youth festival. But I just relived those moments, and I feel really, truly blessed that I could have this conversation. I'm really grateful to Bhagwan that he allowed this to happen in the studios of Radio Sai. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Saram.
Saram. So with that, dear listeners, this brings us to the end of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside and to our day-long Thursday Live. So if you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. And as we sign off, I thank each one of you for your beautiful emails, your encouraging words. Please do continue to send those few words of encouragement and feedback. Every email that we receive, it is Swami who's telling us either what we have done good or what we can improve. Let us together immerse ourselves in His love, in His message, and in furthering His glory. Thank you so much. Saram.
We often think spirituality is all about answering questions, but truly, spirituality is about asking the right questions. Before knowing what is right, we must want to know what is right, right? Still, it's always good to get answers too. So do you have questions? Questions relating to practical spirituality? What if I tell you we are going to open a booth where you can just drop your questions and we could come up with answers for you? Yay! That's what you're saying, right? Well, that's exactly what we've got here for you. We at Radio Sai are starting a brand new show, the Radio Sai Answering Booth. Every Thursday at 11 a.m, join me, Team Radio Sai's Prem, on this new show, and we will take on your questions and try finding answers from Swami's message. All you have to do is record your question and send it to me. You can mail your questions to prem@radiosai.org. That's prem@radiosai.org. Let your questions be about practical day-to-day problems and not purely intellectual. Drop your worries in Radio Sai's answering booth, offer your prayers to Swami and sit back in peace. So it's 11 a.m. on Thursday Live and the show's name is Radio Sai Answering Booth.